Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 43 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
They're trying to make the landlords responsible for our tenants.
Lexington officials are considering a controversial ordinance.
Higher education institutions will ask for more funding this year.
A new House bill creates a new flag for veterans.
The Council on Post-Secondary Education has a new chairman.
Ham radio operators camped out at the Kentucky Horse Park over the weekend.
In sports, East Carter girls and West Carter boys hit the hardwood tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 30. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
It's back to the drawing board for a controversial Lexington ordinance creating new fines for landlords of properties deemed disruptive. Under the proposal, landlords overseeing houses and apartments that rack up two violations for disorderly conduct, minors in possession of alcohol, unlawful transaction with a minor, or violations of Lexington's sound ordinance would be labeled disruptive for a year. From there, additional violations would result in escalating fines for the landlords of up to $1,000. This week, city council members heard from landlords and others opposed to the plan.
They're trying to make the landlords responsible for our tenants. And that's how we perceive it.
The thing the ordinance is doing is it's giving us responsibility without authority.
It is going to wreak havoc on the student housing owners.
Opponents argue the ordinance could be used to force out lower-income residents, while supporters see it as a way of reining in behavior at party houses, especially those close to the University of Kentucky's campus. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the council sent the ordinance back to committee, but a date has not been set to re-examine the proposal.
Kentucky officials are concerned that bankrupt coal companies may abandon their environmental obligations to clean up coal mines. WMKY's Sarah Vashipi has more.
The hearing that took place last week in West Virginia might leave companies like Black Jewel LLC and Revelation Energy taxpayers with a bill in a mine reclamation cost. The Lexington Herald Leader reports that Black Jewel's violation account for about 30% of the total outstanding noncompliance notice in Kentucky. Black Jewel said it is planning to sell many of the permits that requires reclamation work. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Fashbe.
An independent scientific panel convened to assess four rule changes proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency last week. Critics say the changes could weaken protections of waterways across the country, restrict the use of scientific studies needed to create environmental regulations, and lower fuel economy standards, among other switch-ups. Retired EPA scientist Chris Zarba says the panel is tasked with helping the agency.
Typically, the Science Advisory Board will hire 200 to 300 in a year to do different projects, and they review the agency science and make recommendations so that the agency can ensure its science is sound and they can make informed decisions. Typically happens is scientists and researchers will go to those communities, they'll measure the water concentrations, the drinking water concentrations, they'll measure the tissue and the blood samples from the residents.
The public can submit comments through the end of May before the board issues its final report.
Students, school leaders, and elected officials gathered at the state capitol in Frankfort today. WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
More than 300 people were expected in Frankfort. The event is hosted by EdChoice Kentucky, an organization that seeks to educate people on the benefits of school choice. The organization's goal is to give low-income families who can't afford a non-public school an option to make an educational choice that will better suit their child's needs, according to Charles Lays, EdChoice Kentucky president. WKYT reports Senator Alvarado and former Governor Matt Bevin had big plans for charter schools. However, current Governor Andy Beshear has placed his support behind public schools. Monday's event in Frankfort is part of a National School Choice Week, which features more than 50,000 school choice events across the country. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Lawmakers have been told Kentucky state colleges and universities will ask for their first funding increase since the 2007-2008 budget. Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education President Aaron Thompson told lawmakers last week that public colleges will seek a 6.2% increase next fiscal year and an 8.8% increase in the 2022 fiscal year over current base funding levels. Thompson said the budget subcommittee meeting that he isn't sure whether the budget Governor Andy Beshear presents to the General Assembly tomorrow will include the request, but he is optimistic.
The Kentucky House has approved a bill that creates an honor and remember flag. The flag would honor families who have lost a loved one in combat or issues related to combat, like post-traumatic stress syndrome or suicide. Bill sponsor Representative Ed Massey says the flag would be flown on special days such as July 4th, Memorial Day, and Gold Star Families Day. The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration.
The Kentucky Council of Post-Secondary Education has chosen a new chairman. WMKY's Eden Jordan has the story.
Ben Brandstetter has been appointed as the new CPSE chairman. Kimberly Halbauer was also announced to be the new vice chairwoman at Friday's meeting. Brandstetter is president of Brandstetter Carroll Incorporated, a national architectural and engineering firm. Halbauer is a senior vice president and investment advisor executive for Fifth Third Bank. The council also extended President Aaron Thompson's contract for an additional 2.5 years through June 30th of 2023.
For WMKY News, I'm Eden Jordan.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted. The Bluegrass Amateur Radio Society was camping out at the Kentucky Horse Park this weekend to train for any potential natural disaster or emergencies. Although the chance of a crisis in Lexington is slim, many in the group enjoy amateur radio as a hobby. David Richardson, amateur radio operator, tells LEX18 there is a need for the training.
In this day and age of cell phones and technology, there's still only one tried and true method when all else fails, and that's amateur radio.
If a disaster were to strike, the group could be vital in communicating to state or national agencies about whether people have been hurt or what resources are needed.
An organization in Lexington has partnered with a filmmaker in order to find winter coats for children. The Kentucky Theater hosted the premiere of Gone Tomorrow, the story of Kentucky ice climbing, last week, as well as a coat drive to benefit the Family Care Center. Donations allowed for those at the event a chance to win raffle prizes, including a brand new coat. Filmmaker Mike Wilkinson told WKYT the use of social media helped bring awareness to the cause.
The Family Care Center was kind of looking specifically for some coats for youth, maybe even so like some toddler winter coats. So I'm hopeful that we can get some of that. We tried to spread the word on social media a little bit for that. So if we can try to get like 60, 70, that would just be awesome.
To learn more about the Family Care Center or to donate, visit their Facebook page or call 859-288-4040.
The unexpected fire to a Pike County theater has affected the community. According to LEX18, the fire broke out around 8 p.m. Saturday at the Artists Collaborative Theater in Elkhorn City, bringing down the roof of the building. Nobody was inside at the time the fire started. Owner of the theater, Stephanie Richards, says the building was very important to her and she wanted to salvage anything she could from the remains.
The firefighters found one certificate and gave it to me this morning. And so I have one burn certificate to hang on to.
The Artists Collaborative Theater is a nonprofit founded by the Richards family in 2002. The building was built in 2008 and offered entertainment to the community year-round. The Elkhorn Volunteer Fire Department decided for safety reasons to postpone further investigation until the scene cooled down.
Kentucky State Police are searching for a 16-year-old girl who disappeared on Saturday, January 18th. Troopers received a call around 1 p.m. that day and immediately began an investigation. Sydney Reed of Russell walked away from her home that morning between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. According to WIMT, she was last seen on Meadowlark Court in Russell. Sydney is 5'3 and around 130 pounds with brown hair and green eyes. Anyone with information regarding her whereabouts is asked to call Kentucky State Police Post 14.
Officials from Kentucky State Police Post 14 say they are investigating after a five-month-old baby had to be flown to Cabell Huntington Hospital with a serious brain injury. According to WIMT, staff at the hospital noticed the baby had multiple symptoms of shaken baby syndrome and contacted law enforcement. Kentucky State Police said their investigation revealed 24-year-old Jeffrey Wellman of Grayson intentionally harmed his son. Police said he became frustrated and shook him, causing abusive head trauma. The baby remains in critical condition. The case was presented before the Carter County Grand Jury on Friday. The jury returned indictment on one count of criminal abuse first degree. Wellman is being held at the Carter County Detention Center on a $500,000 cash bond. The incident remains under investigation by Kentucky State Police.
A dangerous TikTok dare known as the Outlet Challenge is concerning fire officials across the country. Teens are videoing themselves plugging an iPhone charger opened halfway into an outlet and dropping a penny onto the exposed prongs. Major Kevin Austin with the Lexington Fire Department tells WKYT the challenge could harm those teens.
You could either be electrocuted or burned. Obviously, there's an issue there with actually starting a fire. That's another one of the consequences of getting charged with arson, criminal activity, fines. A lot of bad things go along with the challenge. So even though you do the challenge and you think nothing's wrong at that time, it could cause a fire later on in the wall that you're actually not seeing. If they have children on the internet, just talk with them and let them know to not try this challenge.
Austin said his department hasn't had to respond to the consequences of the viral trend in Lexington, but they are taking precautions.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. Tuesday, cloudy with a high near 37. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Wednesday, cloudy with a high near 38. Wednesday night, cloudy with a low around 30. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 42. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 45. Friday night, a 20% slight chance of rain and snow, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a low 33.
Taking a look at current temperatures around the region, it's 46 degrees in Inez, 42 over in Grayson, 43 in Ashland, 44 in Lexington and Winchester, 42 in Mount Sterling, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 42 degrees. On our feature segment today, we bring you Our Island Universe.
According to independent analyses by NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, Earth's average global surface temperature in 2019 was the second warmest since modern record-keeping began in 1880. My name is Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University and host of Our Island Universe. 2019's average temperature was second only to that of 2016, and more importantly, continued the planet's long-term warming trend. The past 5 years have been the warmest of the last 140 years, and every decade since 1960 has been warmer than the decade prior. We also know that since 1951, the planet's average surface temperature has risen about 2 degrees Fahrenheit. For most of the last 70 years, while it was recognized that the planet has been warming up, the reason why had been the topic of extensive research. Is the warming part of some regular natural trend? Is it because the Earth's tilt or its orbit with respect to the sun is changing? All of these hypotheses have been investigated and eliminated until we are left with the only conclusion remaining. We are the reasons why the planet's climate has been changing. How did we figure that out? By studying ice core samples taken from Antarctica, scientists have found an intimate connection between atmospheric carbon dioxide and the temperature in the natural world. Specifically, when the amount of CO2 in our atmosphere goes up, the temperature follows. The ancient air bubbles trapped in these ice samples enable us to step back in time and see what Earth's atmosphere and climate was like in the distant past. the data tell us that the levels of CO2 in the atmosphere are higher than they have been at any time in the past 800,000 years. During the ice ages, CO2 levels were around 200 parts per million. And during the warm interglacial periods, they hovered around 280 parts per million. In 2013, CO2 levels surpassed 400 parts per million for the first time in at least 800,000 years and shows no signs of stopping. This recent relentless rise in CO2 shows a remarkably constant relationship with fossil fuel burning. Our dependence on fossil fuels is changing the planet's climate. Over the last 10 years, it is clear that there is no longer any debate within the scientific community that the Earth is warming and that humans are the reason why. The debate is among those that don't understand how science is done or have a hidden agenda to pursue. It is clear that our planet is changing in ways that will have enormous impact to our species and the generations to come. Science is driven by evidence. Every national academy in the United States, and indeed around the world, has now endorsed the science of climate change and that it is driven by our continued use of fossil fuels. It is important to note, though, that while the sea levels rise and our climate changes, that our planet will still be here. The Earth will be fine. While many species have become extinct, other species will adapt. The question, though, is what will be the impact to us? How will the changing climate affect us? What kind of planet will our grandkids inherit? Would they look back to this time and say that we had the opportunity to make changes, but we shirked our responsibility to make the hard choices to provide a better planet for them? That we took the easy road and continued with the status quo? In order to effect real change, we need to stop attacking science and process the results of decades of fossil fuel use that has fundamentally altered our climate. Again, our planet will still be here. Our planet will adapt to new changes like it always has. Will we? Our Island Universe is produced at WMKY in cooperation with the Department of Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/startheater.
It's 4:48 and 42 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Sarah Mead and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this sunny Monday afternoon. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Boys and girls basketball teams are squaring off all over the 16th region tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. A couple of teams are squaring off tonight in the 16th region basketball action. The East Carter girls are welcoming Morgan County tonight. The Lady Raiders are 12-7 on the season. They beat Morgan County earlier this year in overtime. The Lady Cougars stand at 7-8 on their season. Tip-off tonight is set for 7:30 in Grayson. In boys' 16th region action tonight, West Carter travels to Raceland. The Comets are 9-8 on the season, coming off of a loss to Owensboro Catholic in the first round of the All-A State Championship last week. The Rams are 14-4 on the season, looking to extend a two-game win streak. Game time tonight in Raceland is set for 7:30 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Round County boys basketball team is getting ready for a regional matchup tomorrow night. The 15-6 Vikings welcome the 7-10 Red Devils of Russell. Round head coach Sean Thacker says records go out the window in regional play.
Right, they've kind of had an up and down season. They got some really good quality wins on there, but they've got some, I'm sure, what they would attest to some disappointing losses. But That's all of us throughout the course of the season. You know, they're adjusting to a new head coach and a new system. Those things play a factor as well. We get everybody's best shot, so, you know, everybody, you know, they'll come in here ready to play tomorrow night.
Game time in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team is back at work this week preparing for a Friday matchup against Fleming County. The Vikings are coming off of a tight win over Lewis County on the road over the weekend. Head coach Matt Stokes says it's hard-fought victories like these that are giving his team confidence at the right time this season.
We've been in enough close games this year that we've got some experience. We've got some girls who are used to playing in tight games this season. So, you know, coming into the game, I was hoping it would be close because they're such a good basketball team. I was afraid that, you know, if we didn't come in with the right mindset, then they would actually run us out of the gym. But the girls came in, they executed our game plan, coming down the stretch.
The Vikings are 12-9 overall, but are 7-2 in the region with 8 games left in regular season. Round's Friday night tilt against Menifee will be a road contest with tip-off set for 6 p.m. Moorhead State's women's track and field team participated in another indoor meet of their season Saturday in the Thunder Herd Invitational at Marshall University. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
The Eagles had 3 competitors place in the top 20 for the 1 mile run. Junior Olivia Chapman placed 8th with a time of 5 minutes 22 seconds. Junior Madison Pelfrey placed 16th with a time of 5 minutes 36 seconds. And junior Maggie Kuiper placed 17th with a time of 5 minutes 37 seconds. In the 800-meter run, Mary Alice Thornburg won her heat with a time of 2 minutes 28 seconds and placed 18th overall. In the 4x400-meter relay, the Eagles placed 10th. The team consisted of senior Maya Andrews, freshman Abby Mohan, junior Olivia Chapman, and junior Emma Gundler. The meet included competitors from Marshall, Belmont, Western Kentucky, Wright State, DW Elite, Eastern Kentucky, Moorhead, Winthrop, Ohio, and Austin Peay. MSU will race again in Huntington, West Virginia on February 7th and 8th in the Chipotle Marshall Classic. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Baylor has managed to keep its leading spot in the Week 13 edition of the Associated Press Men's College Basketball Poll Top 25. That surpasses the record set in 1983 for the most number ones in the history of the poll that dates to the 1948-49 season. Baylor received 33 first-place votes and had 1,591 points from the 65-member media panel. Seeds 2 through 7 stayed the same from last week, with Louisville coming in at number 6. Duke dropped one seat to number 9 as Villanova moved one up to 8th. Seton Hall held on to the 10th place. Kentucky climbs 2 spots in the poll, ranking 13, after dropping 5 spots to number 15 last week. The Cats squeezed past Texas Tech on Saturday to move to 15-4 overall. The world is mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant, who died alongside his daughter Gianna and 7 others in a helicopter crash Sunday. People across the bluegrass are also remembering him. Several players on the courts at the Kentucky Basketball Commission Sunday dedicated every point they earned to the late basketball star. Mike Jones tells WKYT about his experience meeting the former Lakers superstar.
I had the opportunity to work at the Kobe Bryant Skills Academy one summer, and just to see how when he came in, he wasn't focused on, you know, the antics or the fun lights. He was more concerned with to see the top players in the nation was indulging to that crap.
Bryant played 20 seasons in the NBA, all for the Lakers. He was the 3rd all-time leading scorer in league history when he retired. And that's going to do it for sports this evening. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball will host Southeast Missouri on Thursday and UT Martin on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks were very weak today after more cases of the coronavirus were confirmed over the weekend, ratcheting up worries over the virus's impact on the world economy. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 453.93 at 28,535.80. The S&P 500 was down 51.84 at 3,243.63, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 175.60 at 9,139.31. There are now 2,862 confirmed cases in China, with a death toll at 81. The World Health Organization's Director General is traveling to China to meet with government officials and health officials, and in the U.S., a fifth case of coronavirus was confirmed over the weekend. Airline stocks United and Delta both dropped more than 3%. American was down 5.5%. Gaming stocks were also under pressure, with Las Vegas Sands down 6.8% and Wynn Resorts down 8%, while MGM Resorts slid almost 4%. Travel stocks Expedia, Carnival, and Marriott International all pulled back at least 2%, and consumer shares with exposure to China, such as Apple, Disney, and Nike, all dropped at least 1.8%. Caterpillar, a bellwether for global growth, was down over 3%, while the VanEck Vector Semiconductor ETF dropped 4%, and overseas global stocks took a hit as well. In the oil markets today, crude oil was down 2.4% at $52.89 a barrel. Gold was up 0.7% at $1,582.30 an ounce. And as mentioned, overseas stocks were under pressure, with the Stock 600 in Europe down 2.25% and the Nikkei in the Far East down 2%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 9 cents at $44.97, Kroger up 14 cents at $28.33, CSX down $1.53 at $75.17, Marathon Petroleum down $1.77 at $52.72, and Anthem was down $13.60 to finish at $283.68. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, including the cities of Paintsville, Ashland, and Inez. Tonight, cloudy skies, a low around 30 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 37. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 31. Wednesday, cloudy skies with a high near 38. Wednesday night, cloudy with a low around 30. And for Thursday, finally, mostly sunny with a high near 42. Thursday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 30 degrees. Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will conduct its annual meeting at 5:30 this evening. The meeting will be held at the Round County Public Library. Season ticket holders and all members of the society are invited to attend.
The Morehead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will present the film The Perks of Being a Wallflower at the Round County Public Library at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 28th. The film is about a high school student dealing with childhood trauma. A brief discussion follows the presentation. The event is free and open to the community.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is hosting a public forum on highway transportation needs in the Ashland, Boyd, and Greenup areas of Northeast Kentucky. The event will be held at the Ashland City Commission Chambers Building from 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. That's Tuesday, January 28th.
The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland presents Aaron Lewis, Acoustic Songs and Stories, at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 30th. Tickets are priced from $40 to $75.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Sarah Fashipe, Rachel Turner, Eden Jordan, Shamari Mosley, Michael Green, Keneally Roberts, Jonathan Burton, Cody Robinson, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State University's Star Theater Director, Chanel Varani. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sarah Mead and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.